Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Before we get into our show, let's give a shout out to LaCroix. If you want an alternate to eggnog this holiday season, reach for a LaCroix, America's top-selling branded domestic sparkling water.
LaCroix sparkling water was developed to give health-conscious consumers refreshment, flavor, and, most importantly, sparkle with an innocent twist of zero calories, zero sweeteners, and zero sodium.
All LaCroix flavors are confirmed to be derived from natural sources with natural fruit essences. Do you like how I said natural?
Natural.
The newest flavor is hibiscus, which is amazing, and other classic flavors. Flavors include tangerine, apricot, passion fruit, cran, raspberry.
The LaCroix family also includes six LaCroix Curité flavors, including pineapple strawberry, kiwi watermelon, blackberry cucumber, and cantaloupe pink grapefruit.
There's also newly added flavors to the Nicola theme, like coconut cola, mojito, and Sumatra coffee and cola, all of which contain no caffeine or alcohol.
LaCroix sparkling waters and LaCroix Curité sparkling waters are gluten-free, vegan, kosher, and non-GMO, Whole30 approved, and environmentally friendly. LaCroix cans are perpetually sustainable and recyclable.
For more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water or check them out at LaCroixWater.com.
Sometimes an on-screen romance can lead to an off-screen showmance.
How romantic.
Join former Glee stars and best friends Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz as they interview other dynamic duos and share stories about the highs and lows of friendship.
She's my best friend. I love you.
Right here on Showmance with Kevin and Jenna.
Welcome to Showmance. Merry coffee, because it says it on your coffee cup, Kevin. Is this a Merry Coffee?
It's a war on Christmas, Jenna.
What?
We can't say Merry Christmas anymore. You know how like Trump keeps saying you can't say Christmas?
Merry. Well, remember like the Simon Malls wasn't saying it either for a while?
Yeah, everyone was getting
Merry Coffee.
I like how some of the politicians post pictures of like, well, here's my, not my holiday tree. This is my Christmas tree. We're like, nobody's saying can't say Merry Christmas in your home and you can't put up a Christmas tree, you idiot. Sorry. Are we alienating a bunch of our audience?
No.
I don't care.
Honestly,
Merry coffee to you and yours.
Do what you want. Like, who cares anymore? I don't care anymore.
Nobody cares. If you want to say Merry Christmas, say Merry Christmas. Guess what? Nobody cares. But, like, it doesn't matter if Starbucks doesn't want to say Merry Christmas. Your coffee tastes the same.
It does.
Your drink is still the same.
I got a holiday candle, though, and it's great.
A holiday candle?
It's from Nest. I bought the holiday candle. It's called the holiday candle.
Wait, Nest, like the thermostat?
No. Nest is also, it was before, a candle brand.
Oh.
I have no idea if they are related, but Nest candles.
It sounds like we're just doing ads for Starbucks and Nest candles and Nest thermometers.
But
we're stupid and not getting paid for any of them.
Sponsor us! Just send me some free holiday candles because it's expensive.
I mean, send me free anything.
People for their holiday parties, and I'm like, Mama's gotta get a job.
Oh, see, I've stopped buying candles for people because I just buy them for myself.
Selves.
Me and my personalities.
Well, I do that too, and then I buy four others from Amazon, being like, I'm gonna need these for the holiday parties I'm going to.
Well, here's the thing. Speaking of candles, do we have the White Company here?
I think so, yeah.
Because in England, it's like all the rage, and I went in there because...
It's like Yankee Candle Co.
But bougier. Not quite. Yeah, it's bougier. And let me tell... They had these three that, like, what... They brought me back to, like, times in my life. Like, this one tastes... I mean, smells like the shore. This one smells like... was like, uh-huh, challenge. And then I smelled them. I was like, oh, my God, I'm five again in Florida, and the ocean is... Anyway.
Wrapped in my towel, watching the sunset with the wind in my hair.
Oh, yeah. They were so good. They were just like that. I had my friend Justin. I'm like, Justin, smell this, and what does it make you think? He was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
vacation.
The beach.
I love a candle store. There's nothing wonderful. I love more than the candle store next to...
That is a good gift.
Bear's Vet in L.A. There's a store called Candle Delirium.
Oh, yes.
It's a good one, right? Yeah.
I can't go. I had to cut myself off from going.
Well, I go to Bear's Vet all the, you know, more than I go to my own doctor's. So, like, I'm always there. And I'm like, Bear, we got to stop in Candle Delirium.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to take Sophie to the vet.
Oh.
I got to make a note.
An annual. Is it her annual physical?
It's annual physical.
I just honestly am so tired of getting blood drawn from my body right now. I've been lacking on all of my... annual visits, and so like I decided to cram them in before the end of the year so I could say I did them, and now
here we are.
What does it mean, though? Do I still have to go get an annual visit if I'm at the doctor every other week anyway? Well, I basically live at the doctor.
No, you're fine. I think, though, the annual...
I'm sick all
about,
the time.
Like, getting your blood tested once a year to make sure all your levels are, you know, level.
Oh, my God, Jenna, you're, like, really smart. You're, like...
so much. I think about this all the time where I'm like, I think people think I'm smart sometimes, but I'm really not.
No, here's what it is. Here's what it is. You and I are really smart in some ways, mm-hmm. and in other ways, we're complete idiots.
Idiots. David makes me feel like an idiot all the time.
Well, David's
not actually
also, like, super smart.
He's just so smart yeah. and so well-versed in everything he does.
He's a verse.
Anyway, well, you know what you guys are going to learn. I mean, you learned about him last week and the week before.
Has he listened to it?
Yes, he loved it. That's the only one I've ever heard him listen to. So he gets up.
Austin's on the opposite. Austin hasn't listened to it
yet.
No,
because he's nervous.
Yeah, he's like, I think I maybe embarrassed myself. I was like, no, you didn't. Great.
So David doesn't listen to Showmans at all. But the other day when part one premiered, he gets up like probably a half hour before me and like shaves and gets ready for work, right? So he goes into the bathroom. I hear the light go on and the exhaust fan and everything. And all I hear, usually he watches some Hulu or Netflix show while he gets ready. And all I hear is, when an on-screen romance becomes an on-screen. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. And then it was like, welcome to show. I was like, he's listening to his own goddamn episode.
He has to make sure.
And then he like sent it out to his whole family too.
So he had to screen it first.
Yeah, he screened
it. To make sure it was okay.
He loved it though. He was like, I laughed the whole time. And I was like, if you listened to any of the other f***ing episodes, you would have laughed too.
By the way,
great.
You know how weird, do you have this with people where, so a couple of my friends have recently started watching Shameless.
Oh, and they're, like from the beginning?
Yes, and they're obsessed with Jeremy. I'm like, well, guys, I know you don't listen to our podcast, but if there is one episode you should listen to, we have Jeremy and his lovely wife Addison on, and it's the best. Yeah, and I keep doing that to people. I keep running into people and finding out a specific interest. I'm like, well, we've had this person on the show, and I'm shaming people into listening to it. And they're like, oh, maybe I will. I'm like, yeah, you should.
Yeah, you should. Get used to it.
That's my Christmas gift.
I would ask you what you ate today, Kevin, but I'm so upset that I'm intermittent fasting right now. So, like, I don't even want to talk about food.
You want to talk about a cheeseburger, Jenna? Like a burrito?
I'm also living that low-carb life right now, which is so upsetting.
I need to do that.
And no red meat. And very little dairy.
I recently have been eating a lot. And like, that's no shame on anybody else.
No, live your life.
Yes.
I eat a lot all the time.
I've had McDonald's more than I care to tell you.
Yeah.
Because it was across the street from where I was living.
Oh, God, it's so dangerous.
However, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, who dat?
You beautiful.
Who dat?
You beautiful. It's all about what's inside.
My face looks like a size and a half of what it used to be.
What?
Thank you, Larson and Jennings.
He said he was going to send me one.
So I was in... I saw him. I went to the store in London. Oh, and true.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
We digress.
Anyway.
Wait, though. So here's the problem with the intermittent fasting. I like the intermittent fasting because it's working. Mm-hmm. But also, I think I can eat whatever I want.
Right.
Yes. Between. But then sometimes I don't eat enough. I realize, like, I haven't eaten enough for the day.
How does that work with you? Because you work out all the time. So then you working out on an empty stomach a lot of the time?
So it takes, like, a week to get used to. But then, like, because you can have coffee. So I'll have coffee before I work out. Mm-hmm. You get used to it. Like, you don't.
Do you ever wake up, I guess, in the first week and feel, like, lightheaded or fatigued? Like, how am I going to get through this workout?
No.
Well, good for you, Jenna.
I ate enough the night before, probably.
Got it.
But with the nights that I didn't eat enough the night before, I'm like, ooh, didn't eat enough yesterday, I don't think. Because I wake up hungry. But I can do it. I used to think like I would never be able to do it because I'm such a breakfast person. But I'm not going to do it forever. Probably just till tomorrow.
Yeah, I got to get back on it. I got to do my meal prepping and stop. Also, like, I'm lactose intolerant. I should stop eating dairy.
I know. You've known this forever, and I just forget because it doesn't really count for you.
Yeah.
I did go to an audition the other day, and it was in Culver City where that In-N-Out is. And so I definitely was like, asked after this audition as a reward to myself, I'm going to go get In-N-Out. And I did.
Yeah.
And it was glorious. I realized I haven't had it in over a year and a half.
Oh my, what?
I know.
It's hard breaking like the eating cycles or habits you get into. Like I've been eating so poorly for so many months now that it's hard to just cut it off because now I pass an In-N-Out. I'm like, oh, just give me that. Yeah. Like, why not?
Listen.
It's winter. You're wearing big and baggy clothing.
You know what? Winter and holidays can be a total trigger for people eating. And that was so funny. Like Thanksgiving morning, everybody's like working off my meal later. And I'm like, bitch, nobody needs to work off anything. You know what? You don't have to feel like you earned your meal later. I've probably said that at some point, but like,
I definitely worked out before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Good for you. Know what? Good for you. But also like, you don't have to. I didn't work out the morning of Thanksgiving.
It's hard to the holidays too.
Ugh, so hard. It's just so many bagels.
So many tasty treats. Oh, Jenna, I have a bag of bagels that have been flown back from New York.
Don't you dare.
Justin's friend brought them.
Don't you dare.
Yeah.
I'm about to eat like 6 bagels this week and for Christmas.
They're everything
bagels. We go home and we... Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Are they whole everything though?
I don't know. You don't even know what that means.
Everything. So it's a whole wheat bagel.
Probably
and
not.
And then they toast it with everything.
It's probably not whole wheat.
I also saw the other day somebody made a salmon, and it was with the everything bagel spices on top.
Well, oh, yeah. Have you used that? It was like at Trader Joe's or something?
Oh, yeah. I
put it on everything.
Those, like,
I put it in everything. Like,
at my eggs. I put them on.
Cereal. Just add it.
Ew. Ew.
And we thought we were going to have nothing to talk about today.
I know,
I mean, we didn't. We don't. We're really not talking about anything, but...
I know. Well, next week we're going to talk about your X Factor experience.
Great.
And, it's almost Christmas and Hanukkah, so happy holidays to everybody. And
I like
whatever.
That Hanukkah and Christmas are pretty lined up this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't always happen.
Good. No, it doesn't. I don't think even... Was it last
year? Last year it was way off.
Hanukkah was way earlier.
Yeah.
Well...
I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm still not getting anybody any presents, so...
Really?
I'm really bad at it.
Anybody anything?
I mean, like, I'm getting Austin something.
But like family? Mom, dad?
Nah, just...
Oh, I wish I could do that.
Because I can't...
Yeah. I get it.
You know, I don't know where to start because I've gotten them things before where I...
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, I've gotten things before and it doesn't work. So...
You know what? I respect that.
I'm like, don't get me anything. I won't get you anything. Let's just moderately enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, I respect that. I respect that a lot. I wish there was no gift giving Christmas time sometimes, except for the kids.
It's just about the food. The kids get the presents.
Yes.
But
adults
just
get the food.
Yes, exactly.
Stuff your face.
Like, my favorite part is, like, we play basketball in the driveway.
So you're all more about the traditions than the gifts.
Yeah, the gifts, whatever. Yeah,
same.
Actually, meh. No,
I
did get a good gift last year, but...
From your family?
Yeah. But I already told my mom, like, don't do it again.
Oh. I told my parents, it's like, don't get us anything.
It's hard when you don't live there and you have to bring it back.
Well, that's why. It always ends up, like, staying there, so...
Yeah.
I say gift cards. Dave and I like to
Gift cards
eat,
are so great.
Like, gift cards.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we always love gift cards. And there's such a stigma around gift cards. It's like so impersonal, but I'm like, bitch, I get what I want.
Yeah. My family probably really enjoy gift cards, actually. I keep thinking, cards. Like, no,
See?
They deserve something better. I'm like, no,
Kevin
they deserve
to,
gift cards.
Kevin goes to Walgreens and like picks all the gift cards.
Yeah. Yes. Where do you think I'm going after this, Jenna? You saved Christmas for my family.
You get a gift card and you get a gift card. Okay. Well, should we get to Grayson?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
We have a very talented Grayson Chance on the show today.
He's been around forever. He's making
But he's
music.
Also, what, 21?
Oh, God. It really makes you think, like, what are you doing with your life? Went to school for law, but then had an album and got signed. So.
Yeah, no big deal.
No, but that's what it is.
Before we get to Grayson, let's talk about Talkspace. We all know mental health is a big part of self-care, but changing mental habits is easier said than done.
Luckily, Talkspace online therapy is a convenient and affordable option.
Talkspace pairs you with one of over 5,000 licensed therapists based on your needs.
Right now, get $100 off your first month by using code SHOWMANS at Talkspace.com.
Connect with your therapist the same day you match.
No office trips or appointments to schedule.
Their specialties include depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma,
relationships, food, eating, and more.
In one academic study, Talkspace users reported a 50% drop in anxiety after 3 months, and 80% of participants in another study said Talkspace was as effective or more effective than in-person therapy.
We all need help navigating life's ups and downs. Talkspace offers the support you need at an affordable price.
Our listeners can get $100 off their first month by using code SHOWMANCE at Talkspace.com.
Match with a therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy at Talkspace.com or download the app.
Make sure to use the code SHOWMANCE to get $100 off your first month.
That's Talkspace.com, promo code SHOWMANCE.
Well, stay tuned for the interview because it's actually really great.
Yes, and he's adorable. So personable and down to earth and just the loveliest human.
Yay! Grayson!
'Tis the season of giving!
And we know you're looking for gifts for your family and friends right now.
So check out our amazing sponsors who bring you Showmance every week for free.
Give us your ears.
And they'll give you awesome deals.
And we will give you more of the content you love.
Happy holidays from your friends at Showmance.
Now back to Showmance with Kevin and Jenna.
Aerostar artist and LGBTQ advocate Grayson Chance is just finishing up his world tour that supported his album Portraits. That includes the single Shut Up that has over 20 million streams. That must be nice.
Right. And he just released his latest single, Boots
in early November. Yeah.
Chance is a native Oklahomian. Is that how you say it, Kevin?
Maybe Oklahoman. I don't know.
Oklahoman, cool. Chance came into the national spotlight in 2010 after an unforgettable performance of Lady Gaga's Paparazzi that was viewed by over 60 million people on YouTube. Let's get to Grayson Chance. Welcome, Grayson. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me today.
We have Grayson Chance
here. This is huge.
Yeah. I told my friends, like,
no.
They never care who we have on. You were like one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very, very sweet.
I've been listening to your music since 2011, probably.
Oh, thank you. Those days.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was the long days in the glee set. We're passing around all your viral stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wait, is that truthful?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we loved you.
I think my
boy. We still love you.
My boyfriend at the time was like, you have to watch this. And then I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, I've been watching you guys, oh, my gosh, for forever. So that kind of makes
my heart.
Since
you were a child.
Yeah. I was a child. You were children. We were all young doing the thing.
Children.
However, you've had the craziest, I feel like, last 2.5 years. Are you now a grown-ass man?
Yeah. Very much so.
Your own thing. And so right. I feel like we should talk about that because obviously people know you from when you were a kid and yada, yada, yada. But you are now making great music an adult and going on tours, signing record deals and whatnot. But a couple years ago, you were in college.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Actually, just really like it was May of 2018 when I left on my last semester. So it really hasn't, it's been like a year and a half since I was in school.
Wow.
Which is quite insane. We've had a very, very crazy and very fast year.
Which is great.
Did you leave school because the music kind of picked up and your career picked up?
Yeah, well, I think like a good summary of it all, right, is so I obviously started off when I was very young, when I was 12. That's when I signed my first deal. So next year will be 10 years for me in music, which is insane. And
so you're nice and jaded and hard.
I feel, I'm 100,000% jaded. Yeah. My back hurts, everything. Yeah.
Don't trust anyone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Get me out of California.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, was in the industry at a very, very young age, had a few years of success. And then, I was dropped by my record label, by management, by everyone in our team. And I spent a few years of my adolescence, like, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, what I, you know, thought about music, how I wanted to be as a writer. And it just really wasn't working. I couldn't get past the stigma of being known as the paparazzi kid around town. And the music was quite bad as well, too. I was still figuring out my path. And when I was 18, I left LA with like full intentions of never doing music again, never coming back. I was so defeated kind of by the industry and I just didn't really enjoy it anymore. And I went to school with plans of being a lawyer and going to law school. My first year in college, I didn't touch a piano. I didn't write anything. I just kind of became a music fan again. And I listened to a lot of stuff. I was going to shows all the time. And then it was my second year in school that I started writing Portraits. And then a deal came along and I was like, oh no, here we go. And, I said, give me like 6 months to finish my semester. I dropped out. Then we started like really writing the record in a serious way and we put it out in March and now I kind of can't believe I'm here.
So what do you think happened between you being like, I gotta stop this, this isn't working, the music's not right, to you going to college, and was it just becoming a fan again, and you weren't trying to make something work that maybe wasn't working and that freed you up, or was something else going on that you sort of realized, like, okay, maybe I'll do music again, but this is how I want to do it?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You took a step back.
I think because I was deprived of normalcy when I was an adolescent, right? To me, I kind of had this like romantic view of college life and just like life outside of the industry. I was like, it's going to be so nice to, you know, be in a place where I'm going to be working 9 to 5. Someone's going to tell me, hey, this is your job. Then I can go home. I can turn it off. I can go out on the weekends, all these sorts of things. And also just to be around people my age. Right. And I think once I got to school, as I was going through, and I actually really did love academia a lot, but as I was going through it, I think I learned, I regained a sense of confidence of, I'm actually good at this, and I maybe I'm here for a reason, and maybe I have this ability for a reason. And I think, yeah, I needed to go away from it, and I needed to kind of gain a sense of perspective and also get a chip on my shoulder again to just be like, write what you want to write. That's what those 2 years did to me, is I was like, there's no point of trying to do something in your life that you're not going to enjoy.
Did you feel like there was pressure from other people, outside sources, like to write in the time that it wasn't working and you said your music wasn't, you know, quite right?
Yeah.
Like, what was it that wasn't working? Was it, you know, other people whispering in your ear? Or?
It was 50-50. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people in my life at that time, because I spent truly like 4 years really just kind of studying the art of writing. You know, I was going into studios, I was writing like funk music at one point, because I was really inspired by Daft Punk at the time. And and then I would, you know, be writing like kind of crazy folk stuff. And I loved Joni Mitchell. And so I was just going into the studio and really studying writers and seeing what they were doing and you know, how I wanted to be as a writer in that avenue. But, and it was 50-50 of people encouraging me to take that time to study, and then another 50% saying, well, if you actually want to do this as a career, you need a hit. And, you know, we need you to go in and focus on 3 minutes and, you know, this entire thing. And so I think when I started writing portraits, because no one was waiting for it, it was like I could just sit down at a piano for the first time in my career and be like, okay, what do I actually want to say? You know, what's going on? And I had no expectation for the record. I mean, truly, like if you would have told me last year that I would have been playing 105 shows this year. And
wild.
Yeah.
Are you exhausted?
I absolutely 100,000,000%.
Are you just going to sleep through New Year's?
Yeah, exactly.
We've been like kind of counting down to this weekend when I go and finish up, at least this half of the year. I still have January on the tour, but when we go to Texas and kind of finish it off, and I'm really excited to go home, and yeah, I'm gonna sleep for like 3 days. I'm gonna probably do some questionable fun things with my friends.
Good.
That I shouldn't talk about on the mic.
Yeah, you've earned it.
Hopefully find a husband in Texas
all in that month.
We'll see.
You got 3 days.
Yeah.
You got a lot to do.
Yeah, so I'm exhausted, but it's a happy exhaustion.
Did people recognize you at school?
Well, so after the video came out, I was in school for like 2 weeks, and then I left school entirely. Mm-hmm. And then I was like homeschooled. I did like online school.
Yeah.
So when I actually went back to college, that was the first time I'd been in a classroom since I was 12 years old.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. Which was quite insane.
Did you, and now when you were studying to be a lawyer, you said you enjoyed the academia of it.
Yeah.
But was there also like, was there a question in your mind like, should I be doing this? Or what did it feel like the right track at that time?
It felt at first very right. And I was very excited. And then I think as time was going on, I was like, I would just be such a wasted opportunity to not do this. I feel like, you know, I was meant to play the piano. Yeah.
He saw piano and he's like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I could avoid it.
I didn't touch the keys for like 6 to 7 months. Like not even playing.
Probably needed that though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Give yourself a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which freed you up. So when it came time to sort of, or accidentally working on portraits, which if people don't know, go listen to it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
So good.
Yeah, Jenna's become obsessed now.
The sound is like, it makes sense for you. It's so...
Well, it's exactly what you were saying. Yeah. It feels like it's, you get to, we get to know you as a listener.
as an adult, right, living your experiences now, mm-hmm, that you've gone to college and actually, mm-hmm, had these real life experiences that you were sort of missing out on before? Or when it came time to be like, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to, mm-hmm, produce this album, who did you think to go to in terms of producing it, yeah, and what the next steps are going to be?
Well, I knew that I was going to, as a writer, I knew that it was going to be a lot on me. I was working with a friend at the time named Willie Beeman, who I'd known for years. And so we had had a really sort of good relationship, and we worked really well in the studio. And he was also one of the only people that would work with me when I was in college, when I wanted to like send him a demo or do something in the second year. So we truly just locked ourselves in a room for like, you know, 6 months and just kind of got it all out. And it's funny, like I really did not have an expectation for it. I think my biggest goal of leaving school was I just really wanted to write a record, because I knew that even if it wasn't going to be successful, at least I could say, okay, screw all of you, I did it, it's good, and you know,
yeah, you just had to get out of your
kiss
system.
My ass, yeah, go, yeah, you know, and that's what I really needed to do. And then when I think we started to see it be successful, and then I kind of started doing the shows. This year has been a lot about me kind of finding my confidence as an artist again. And that's been really cool.
Before we continue with Grayson, let's talk about weddings, because we have been to a million weddings, Kevin,
a million,
right? And there's a lot of planning involved, and there's always questions about the registry, the travel plans, the dress code, etc.
But thankfully, Jenna, Zola is here to make things simple during engagement season.
Yay! So sign up at Zola.com/showmans to get your free personalized paper sample. Then use code SAVE50 to get 50% off your save the dates.
Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful with wedding websites, registry invites, and a guest list manager all in one place.
Zola has hundreds of free, beautiful website designs for every style.
They have the highest rated registry of all time. Register for gifts, experiences, and honeymoon funds.
I love a honeymoon fund. Plus, beautiful and affordable invites and paper. They'll help you collect addresses and track online RSVPs with their free guest list manager.
Zola has helped 1 million couples get married, and they'll help you too.
Sign up at Zola.com/showmans today to get your free personalized paper sample.
Then use code SAVE50 to get 50% off your save the dates.
That's Zola.com/showmans and promo code SAVE50.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
When you were dropped, mm-hmm, by everybody, like, what was that like for you after working for so long in the industry? Like, what was that moment in time like?
The most difficult in my life, probably. Yeah. I just trusted what I was told, you know, and I was told by these people that they were going to be with me for forever. I remember my first manager telling me, I see you being Elton John. You're going to have a career like that. It's going to be long, and I'm going to be there with you every step of the way, no matter whether it's up, whether it's down, you know, anything. And then when he, mm-hmm, yeah, and then he calls and says, well, okay, sorry, it didn't work out. And so learning that at 15 was really interesting. And I've noticed, like, not to be super dark, but it did sort of in later years, I had to work on trust issues in my own relationships with friends and with, you know, romantic relationships too, because I have such a tendency to think, oh, you're here now, but you're going to be gone soon. Mm-hmm. And it was so, so difficult. Going through that is hard for anyone, no matter what your age is. But when you're 15, it's like a little, whoa. Okay.
Yeah, the most impressionable, yeah, of ages where you're learning to just trust people. And you're like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, I went within like 2 weeks. It was label, management, publicist, agent. I think we had a brand agent
domino
at the time
effect
too. They all left.
Damn.
So my entire network of people was just gone. And I was 15 years old. I had a lot of money, and I had no clue what to do. And I was in Oklahoma going, what the hell happened?
Because basically the whole system that was built to set you up and support you had just mm-hmm. been pulled out from underneath yeah. you. And as a 15-year-old, you're not necessarily capable of setting that back up yeah. yourself. You're like, how do I rationally think about this, of the logical next steps of where to go?
Mm-hmm. Right. I did, though.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, because then he's like, I'm going to law school.
Yeah, I did.
Are your parents, I assume, involved in your career?
They actually weren't, in a really awesome way. They were involved in my career in the sense that they were truly just like my parents. Through it all, they did not fill a momager, dadager role at all. They always gave me a lot of kind of creative space, and they just sort of helped me through it. I remember when I first got signed, everyone was like, "You have to relocate the family to LA. That's like what has to happen." And my parents were like, "We'll get a place, sure, but we're not leaving Oklahoma. We're always going to have our house there." And that was such a blessing.
Yeah.
Later down the line, yeah.
Yeah, you guys did that.
Yeah, we did that too. You don't want to get caught up in that. I mean, I imagine too at that time, if you had all that sort of happen to you and then yeah. you're just abandoned out here, and like, well, yeah. we uprooted our entire life.
Yeah, we really wanted to avoid that. And Oklahoma yeah. too, through it all, was such a refuge.
Mm. Were they helpful in deciding like the turning points of your career, you know, like when you got dropped and when mm-hmm. you decided to go to college? Were they a big part of that?
In ways. For them, I think they were always more concerned about, you know, what do you want to do mm-hmm. that's going to make you happy? I remember when I told them I was going to college, they were excited, but there was a sense of, are you sure this is what you want to do? And at the time I was like, absolutely, you know, this is the right move. And then when I called my parents to say, hey, I got a deal and I'm going to go back in, they said, okay. And they asked the same question. Are you sure this is what you want to do?
Dream parents.
Yeah, right? they're truly, really, really special. And they're actually here. They came to the show on Saturday.
Wow.
It's been a fun weekend to have them in California.
That's why you're so like nice and normal and grounded.
Yeah.
But we can talk to your manager about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. You'll get some good stories. Buy him a few beers. You'll have a fun time.
Well, in honor of the show being Showmance, we usually bring on, you know, duos and people who have met and worked together, obviously, like Kevin and I. Do you find the music business can get really lonely as a solo artist? Or, like, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I think touring is super lonely. I think, you know, if you're just a person that's, like, writing music in L.A. or, like, a songwriter or something, I think, yeah, you can have, like, a circle and of friends and do this entire thing. As an artist, when you're gigging so much, like, it does get, you know, pretty interesting sometimes because your world becomes loud, 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 quiet.
Yep.
Where you're by yourself in your hotel room and you're like, huh.
The extreme. You're like, oh, I have hundreds or thousands of people screaming
yeah.
for me.
And then it's just dead silence. Mm. And so, yeah, that's been interesting to kind of learn and navigate this year. But I love the show so much that I would do anything for it. Mm. But yeah, I'm incredibly lonely like 6 days out of the week, but that's okay. Yeah.
How
you're like, yeah, totally.
It's
yeah.
Touring is a weird thing.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It's, towards the end of the year, I've been getting a bit more tired, and my guitarist and I were talking, we were like, how did these guys do this back in the day? Like, it's just insane. And we were like, we're just not doing enough cocaine. We just gotta get, that's the answer. We're so boring. I'm getting off stage and like having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Screw that.
Like, well, I gotta go sleep to save my voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just raging until 6 a.m.
So next year I'm gonna be Jackson Maine. And
okay,
just,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, see how that goes.
Snort some Quaaludes before every night and, you know, kind of get on that rock
Perfect.
Star life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta try
learn
it
from
all.
The best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
When Kevin and I were on tour, which is different because you toured with 18 people.
Yeah, we were never alone.
Never
even
alone.
We wanted to be.
Yeah, it's true. But it's funny because, you know, in the cities that we were in, fans figured out where, you know, where you're staying and, you know, everything near the venue, you can't go near because they're all in town for it or, you know, living there. And so it was interesting because, like, there was this weird sense of isolation, but at least we had each other to be isolated with. Like, Kevin and I would go visit the city anyway. We would just kind of walk around with
our
security guard and, you know, so bougie.
You are so restricted.
You really
are. That's the thing. And I think that's what people don't realize is a lot of my friends ask me, they're like, oh, you've been doing all this traveling. You get to see these places. And I'm like, sure. But I'm also like seeing a hotel room, a green room and a car.
Yeah.
And a stage, you know. But again, too, it's like, I think you just have to keep your focus of like why you're there. And that second that I get on every night, I'm like, okay,
it's all worth
this
it.
Is why I'm here. Yeah.
How has it been seeing, I mean, because you put out Portraits sort of not knowing what was going to happen mm-hmm. or how it was going to do. And then you did how many shows this year?
105.
Yes. So how has it been?
It would have been 108, but I got the flu, so we had to reschedule.
Oh, no.
Yeah. God. That sucked.
You mean you're not a robot?
I know.
I think he is.
Yeah, kind of still.
He's still a robot. Like, how have the fans been? How is it you went from being in college and mm-hmm. recording this album in a room that you locked yourself away into actually seeing people like show mm-hmm. up, seeing them sing the songs back at you, mm-hmm. has that been overwhelming? When I think, too, when you didn't know what was going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
And you were able to do that many shows this year.
It's been incredibly fulfilling, I think. And it's taught me this year, I've learned a lot, that I feel like music is truly the thing that can transcend any barrier. You know, we did 11 cities in China. Mm-hmm. And, I couldn't, like, have a conversation with the fans like you and I are having right now because of the language barrier. But in that hour and a half, they know every single word to the record. And, wow. You know, that was so special to see. And I think a lot of the record, too, was so personal to me. And, I threw a lot of my heart into it. And it's really my favorite thing is to talk to the fans about ways that the songs relate to their life, or how, you know, me talking about my breakup, they go, it reminded me of this part of my relationship. That's so incredibly cool. That's so much bigger than anything else, right? It's like you're writing music and it's connecting to people, and to see that it's been really awesome. And a lot of these fans too I've grown up with.
Right.
You know, like I'll see people every night at the meet and greet, and I'll go, and yeah, what's up? Like, yeah, how are you doing in school? Like, yeah, they've been here for 10 years, and that's really awesome too.
Amazing.
I mean, because you've done this once before, how are you doing things, I guess, differently now? Because I feel like in terms of songs and music videos and touring, like you're very much in control mm-hmm. of everything this mm-hmm. time. How has that been? Is it, you feel it's harder and a lot more work, or is it just more satisfying? Like, mm-hmm. what has that been like for you?
It's definitely harder and a lot more work, but that was a really big goal for me of going back, is I was like, I'm not going to do anything that I'm not fully behind. And visually and creatively too, I took like a load of Photoshop classes and Premiere classes because before I even started the album cycle, because I knew I wanted to be involved in the design. And I also employ a lot of my friends, like, you know, we kind of have like a creative group, like all of my, anything that you see that I'm wearing or anything that, you know, is involved with the record, it's all from Oklahoma, from my friends and I.
Oh, I love
you know,
that.
Amazing.
You know, we're just, we're out here and doing the thing. So yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot more fulfilling. I don't do anything now that I don't want to do. It drives people crazy sometimes because
you don't need to.
I'm the guy who totally calls the hour before and I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Alex is like, are you kidding me?
Damage control.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry.
But that's the reality of like getting older, and because you've been in the business obviously so long now, or in the industry.
But you're
so
still
long
so
now,
young.
But
that's
so
the difference. Like, people your age don't normally have the experience.
Well, you have the advantage now, right?
Yeah.
Like you're doing the things that people learn in their 40s, mm-hmm. who were in this you know, in the industry for that long. Mm-hmm. So
it's a big thing to learn to say no.
Yeah.
It's hard. Because
so
I
true.
Think at first you feel, because you are grateful for the opportunity, mm-hmm. you are grateful to be in the position you're in, and you feel like, I'll do anything anybody mm-hmm. wants me to do because
right.
I'm grateful to be here. However, you got to keep your sanity in check.
Of course.
And you've been a big advocate for the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind kind of sharing your, you know, nutshell story of like, because you obviously came out in the public eye, right?
Yeah.
With, you know, a million fans watching. So what was that like for you? What was that experience like? Was that really hard? And mm-hmm. what made you kind of turn to being an advocate and a voice for it?
Yeah. Well, it was sort of an interesting story for me. I came out to my friends and family when I was like 16, or 16 or 17, somewhere around there. And it was, you know, I was really blessed. I had gay uncles, so they did a lot of
totally
the heavy of the heavy lifting in the 80s. God bless them. So I just kind of strolled on up and was like, "Hey, everybody, you already did this with them, so what's up?" And so my family was incredibly supportive, and so that was sort of obviously not an easy thing, but it wasn't challenging. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then I, at the time, was feeling very, I was looking around at the culture, and especially internet culture at the time. And I just felt like people and people around my age too were exploiting their sexuality so much to garner more attention, right, towards their brand. And it was becoming sort of a thing like, hey, I'm gay, and because of that, you have to love everything I do, and here's why. And I wanted to stay so far away from that. And I, now looking back, I realized that that thought was kind of naive, and, you know, I was a little young, but in my head, I was like, people don't need to know. Like, I can just, like, do what I want to do, and I'm going to focus on my art more. And then I got a message one day from a kid in Arkansas, and he told me his story and, you know, about how he was going to have a really, really hard time when he came out. And it just really resonated with me at the end of the message when he said, I know you're not gay, but your music really inspires me. You inspire me. And at that moment, I was like, okay, let's ignore all of that other stuff and just focus in this moment. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote out a message. I sent it out and I turned off my phone and got on a plane. Like, it's literally all I did. I didn't really think about it that much. And ever since then too, it's like, I am an advocate, and but solely because I don't know of anything else to do. I feel like it's I just love the work that we do with, you know, different organizations. We Ally Coalition teamed up with the tour this year, and every city we go to, we have a resource center that comes out and talks to the fans, and like, I don't know. I wouldn't know what else to. I got to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, but not everybody would just actually do that and say it. So it's nice true. That you actually put in the... It may not seem like a lot to you, but it, in those communities and everywhere you go, it means a lot
yeah.
to those kids
yeah.
are coming out to see you.
I think the reason why, though, too, is because where I was very politically active in Oklahoma starting at a young age. So I think, to me, the activism thing, it feels so natural to me. And also, like, in Oklahoma, it's just such a different terrain. So it's,
sure is.
It's like, yeah. And so it's interesting. When I was in college, I was working for some campaigns, and going around and door knocking and stuff. And I was one of the only volunteers, for one of these state Senate races in Oklahoma, that would agree to take what we would call them red books. And that meant they were Republican, like call logs where you'd go up and knock on the door and say, hey, I have this candidate, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And so I was like one of the only volunteers that was like, yeah, I'll go do that and do this sort of thing. And it was just so much of, you would knock on the door, and people would go, I'm going to go get my gun. And then at first you're like, oh, a little scared. And then by like the 10th time, you're like, yeah, go get it. You're not going to shoot me, you idiot. Like, yeah, like, come
over
on.
Over a state senator.
Go and try me.
Over a door knocker.
And then you'll get like a really, jeez, sometimes like some very interesting like homophobic slurs, which every so often I would kind of be like, well, that one's kind of new and interesting.
Add that to the book.
And then you would have like one or two people that would actually listen to you out of maybe 10 or 15. And I would always continue to do it because of that.
Yeah.
So the activism now, I'm like, hell yeah, the Ally Coalition. I'm like, yeah, come on down.
That's easy.
Yeah.
You don't have to go knock on some doors that don't want to hear what you have to say.
Exactly.
I mean, so now, present day.
Present day.
Boots. That video and that song, like, what's happening? What's going on in 2020?
Yeah, well, I'm working right now where I was actually just in the studio last night, pretty late. But I'm working on a new album right now with Teddy Geiger. She's executive producing it. And it's quite exciting.
She's definitely not talented. Definitely has never had a chance before.
She's the most talented person I know. And so we're working on a record, and
it's exciting.
You know, I was very interested to see how I was going to feel after Portraits, and I feel as a writer like so inspired right now. And this album is going to be coming pretty soon here in 2020.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah,
I feel like also it's probably this album probably feels different, obviously because Portraits and you know did so well, but like also because I think your confidence, like it says so much about you in creating art and. When you're feeling confident about who you are and what you have to say.
Yeah, very much so. And I think too, what's good about now with writing this record is I still just kind of don't care.
It worked.
I just love going into the studio and writing and creating and you know, if it does well, that's awesome. If I end up bankrupt working at a bar in Oklahoma, that's cool too. I'm just excited to be writing music and Yeah, I think you guys will like this next record.
Yay.
I'm sure we will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where are you touring in 20? You're finishing the tour in 2020.
Yeah, so the tour ends in January. I think we are very safe to announce that we're touring and we're launching a Europe tour actually tomorrow, so whenever this airs. But
yeah.
We launch a Euro tour in April.
Wow.
And then we will be back in the States in fall of 2020. But that will be announced here shortly.
Amazing.
Wow.
You guys have to come to the show.
Oh, yeah, we definitely have to.
What were you doing on Saturday?
I know.
Probably nothing super important.
No, definitely.
Family holidays. Not important.
I definitely was doing anything super important. I failed you.
Yeah, you did.
I absolutely failed.
Sometimes Kevin doesn't read his emails. That's why.
Yeah. That's right. Yep. Jenna knows.
We'll come in 2020 for sure.
Yeah, please do.
Congratulations to you. Seriously, it's been amazing, like, watching your career, you know, evolve like this and being able to follow you and now meet you. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Everyone, go see the show in 2020 and
keep making music
wherever he's going to be.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to Showmans with us, and get new episodes every Thursday on podcast1.com, Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude. And make sure to subscribe to the show and leave us a nice rating and a 5-star review, of course. And
spread the word. See you next week.
Bye.